Well, welcome back to another episode of Sexy Marriage Radio. Alongside my wife, Pam, who's been a world traveler lately.
Yeah.
And so she's
a little jet lagged.
she's had a lot of airplane time the last two days.
It's so good to be home with you.
And she's got henna all over her hands.
I do. It's pretty cool.
I mean, so if you're on YouTube, well, it hasn't switched over to you though. You got to keep talking so the camera will switch.
Oh,
to
yeah,
you.
Oh yeah, I got to talk. So yeah, you see all the fun.
Yes, she got the whole Indian wedding experience all last week, and so it's great to have a chance to recover and get back together again. Mm-hmm. But at Sexy Marriage Radio, what we're trying to do is just speak straightforward and honest about what goes on in marriage, and this is going to be a fun one because we've had in the past where there's almost been a exchange based concept for sex of like if I do this, then I'll get this. Right. Like there's this component.
Yeah.
Chore play fits into this category.
Sure.
But what about the reverse of this, where a question came in about my wife and I, we have a decent sex life. It's usually pretty good, but I would like more frequency. And she's on board with the sex for the most part. But she actually proposed, what about a sex for rewards challenge? Where if we have sex more, it earns me things, jewelry, weekends away, time, you know, whatever it might be, that fill in the blank.
Okay.
And so it's interesting of like, how would that work? What's the pitfalls? Why it could be really destructive is what we're going to talk about. But could it actually work is the other side of it.
Well, I immediately think of positives and negatives to this.
What are the positives you think of?
You ready to roll on
Let's go. Yeah, we'll jump right in. Because the extended content, we're going to talk about what you can do instead.
I can see a couple that is in a healthy spot that just has fun with life and they have creative ways to do things, right? And I don't think that this is a good solution if you're not a couple that collaborates on your sex life.
Oh yeah.
If this is truly I'll do more if you'll give me this vacation. Well, why aren't you doing more anyway? Right.
Why don't you just go on vacation?
Why don't you just go on vacation? Yeah. I mean, come on. Vacation is,
right.
If I
want a weekend away, I'm just going to go. Why don't I just claim a weekend away? Right.
Exactly.
Because some of that is just on my overall functioning, because that's what you're describing. And I agree with this.
Yeah.
If I'm at a point where I feel like I want to treat myself to something sexually or otherwise, right? You know, within my marriage, if I want to treat myself to something sexually with you, then it's up to me to bring that forward and seek it. Right?
Yeah. Because I would think the sexual encounter together would be much more enjoyable if I'm just excited about doing that rather than if I'm trying to get something out
right,
of it.
Right, because here's where the operative word on how you started it as a positive of if you are in a spot where you're collaborating well, and it's imperative to realize spots only last for so long. We all have seasons of we're not collaborating as well anymore.
Sure.
And it's typically because something's gone underneath the surface. I've started harboring some sort of uncertainty, insecurity, reading things into it, resentment, what have you.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it creeps in because my differentiation level lowered a little bit. And so I think if you can keep it out in the open and make it playful for times, okay, why not? That's a fun collaboration of life.
Yeah, I guess that's my idea.
But it can't be a long-term thing because it would almost guaranteed one person will start to go dark and uncertain about some things. They'll read something into it. And now all of a sudden it's turning into a commodity and it's not desire.
It seems like that would play out pretty well. I mean, you can typically kind of read where your spouse is during the sexual encounter and
you would think
a lot
of people can read that, but there are actually a lot of people that can't.
Well, they either can't or maybe they're just ignoring it on purpose.
Yeah.
Because they're just in it for the orgasm.
Well, and let's also be clear that this is what we're going to be talking about, and what we've already started hinting about is this is sex beyond just functional level sex. Mm-hmm. If you want to just have functional level sex and make this an exchange based kind of thing, okay, try it.
But sex for you, because you're not getting the most out of what you could get out
most
of,
most people
right?
in marriage.
And the connection within this marriage, if you're just doing the exchange-based, where's the connection? Where's right. where's the spiritual aspect of this, the godliness that, that right. comes from...
The soul-to-soul possibilities.
What this beautiful encounter can be.
Right. And that's where you're talking about something a whole lot deeper. And that's mm-hmm. where I think what married sex is really based on. And this is last week's episode that we did a... I did a replay of the better oral sex, mm-hmm. and I made a comment in that episode of, I think a majority of married couples don't want just pleasurable sex when they start really honestly looking at it. I want something more meaningful too. I don't just want always just, oh, this was really pleasurable, because that only lasts for so long because of the law of how the newness wears off, the connection changes, and it does become just this act where we can do it at times. And not that that's not fun and enjoyable and pleasurable, but if that's the only reason, you're missing a whole lot what else is underneath it. Mm. And so if we're talking about getting any possibility of living in that world of desire, that's where this starts to get off the rails. That's why it becomes a reward system is fraught with all kinds of problems. It's like incentivizing behaviors, maybe, but incentivizing wanting, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's not going to be I'm doing this because I want you, rather than if that's the case, I'm doing this or you're doing this. And I'm always, in my mind, I'm going to be going, what is she after here? Is it this moment with me, or is it a new car?
Yeah, can I afford the new thing that this sexual encounter is about?
Whatever it might
be. Sounds like a pretty expensive way to live life.
It very well could be, unless we do girl math, and apparently a lot of things are free with all of that. But even this whole philosophy is not free.
No.
Because you're talking about something deeper.
It's not emotionally free, that's for sure.
Because we also talked about this last week's in the repeat of the episode of... When you get down to brass tacks, when it comes to our sex lives, and in this conversation last week, we were talking more about in the oral sex arena, but it fits in all of our sex lives. You get into, okay, how do I start coming to grips with, as those interactions are happening between husband and wife, how do I come to grips with a level of care I see from my spouse, of wanting to be there, of being engaged, of caring about me, of caring about themselves? And that's the element a lot of us go blind to or don't even have the courage to look. And so that's where this starts to have some major pitfalls on this framework. This also can dovetail, because it's the holiday season, into the realm of, what if I want to give sex as a Christmas gift? Mm-hmm. Well, okay. We did an episode last year about that. That was on Christmas Day. Was the Christmas, Christmas fell on Wednesday when new episodes came out. So it was a short episode on just, is it an acceptable gift?
Yeah.
And again, I think the same principles apply, that you can have some fun with it. But if I'm trying to do something where I'm trying to create and cultivate desire and wanting, it's not going to satisfy it. I'm basically outsourcing it. I'm trying to buy it rather than earn it and grow into it. And there's a difference.
Earn it?
It's self-earned. Not from you. Earn myself. And that's what we're going to talk about in the extended content.
Okay.
But let's talk about some of the pitfalls that happen.
Okay.
On why this can be really perilous as a task of anything I do that's more exchange-based, particularly with our sex lives, it really can become problematic.
I mean, I think it put a currency on it. Like, is actual sexual intercourse worth this level of gift, and is a blowjob worth this level of gift? And like, you put a currency on this. I could have my own currency.
And what if my currency exchange rate is different than yours? Oh, like, my gosh. That did not earn it, because it did not, you know. And that's where it's,
and based on where you and I are, like, the exchange rate fluctuates.
I didn't even put that as a pitfall.
Minute by minute,
this one actually fits. So right. rather than seven pitfalls, there's eight.
And
the exchange rate changes and fluctuates for each person.
Mm,
there's
gosh.
One of them. But the other one, so one of them, one of the other pitfalls is the idea of compliance does not equal desire. Right? It's outcome performance sex. It's a shallow connection because you don't know.
To even use the word compliance with a sexual relationship with my spouse, that's a negative connotation to me right there, to say, if I'm going to comply with...
Well, in the same spirit as the obligatory. It's obligation.
Right. These regulations that we've set up for what we've said we're going to do.
Because it's not freely chosen conscious desire. Mm-hmm. It's not a wanting. It's not I'm leaning towards an offering.
Well, it's not a wanting of my spouse or this connection with them. It's a wanting of whatever the outcome is that I get on the other side.
Right. So that's one. The other, and why this can become perilous, is because every couple has an element of a control dynamic that plays out when you talk about higher desire, lower desire. The lower desire controls the situations most of the time. In sex, when you're talking about frequency, mm-hmm. the lower desire controls sex as far as the amount of times.
Okay.
Because they get to say yes or no to all the initiations that come by. And so this kind of dynamic is a further strengthening of that dynamic.
I got you.
Right. Okay. Because it's just it's adding new layers. It's pay for play almost. It's that element of, it's adding a layer of, wait a second, this just has a different gatekeeping mentality to it, which then is going to sink into, I'm going to second guess what's going on here. Why is this actually happening? Now all of a sudden I've already started disconnecting because I'm watching differently, or I'm hoping for differently.
I'm watching differently because
what's the real motivation here?
Yeah. To see what their motivation is behind saying yes to sex.
Right. I mean, I've even heard this happen with couples where a guy, he clued in several weeks or several days later. He's like, wait a second. Because a thing dramatically changed in their sexual frequency. Mm-hmm. And he realized, because it wasn't shortly after the frequency change occurred, a big ask came from her. And so it was like, I'm buttering him up so I get a greater likelihood of getting the result I hope, because I've already buttered him up with a lot of sex. Mm-hmm. And it's an element of like, okay, again, that's part of our human dynamic. And it just becomes really problematic when I'm not aware of it and I then actually weaponize it.
Yeah, yeah. We figure out how to read people, including our spouse.
Yeah.
And know how to manipulate.
Which then this adds into, on the other side of it, not only does it further enhance the gatekeeper side with the lower desire, it also can create this adequacy spiral for the higher desire. Because they're wondering, what's this really about? You know, what does this really mean? It doesn't produce the wanting. It doesn't produce feeling desired.
Yeah. I'm only adequate enough if I'm making enough money to pay for all these things they want on the back flip side.
Well, for an example of this, in case it's not resonating with the audience, this is based on the same principle that you can have if you're the lower desire spouse, that you feel like all your spouse wants you for is sex. Mm-hmm. Or you're a high earning spouse and you feel like all you are is a bank account. Right? That's an adequacy thing, because it's tied to something that has some truth, most likely. Mm-hmm. And so this just further enhances this dynamic. And that's why it's a serious pitfall of, it just makes the divide between higher desire, lower desire, all the greater, possibly.
Sure.
Because you're both are acting in ways that's like, I've got to second guess this thing. I'm not quite sure. What's the real motivation here? What is this really about? And if I'm already thinking that, man, we've already lost some of the sweetness that we could be having. Mm-hmm. Right? And so another one is, and as we've kind of been hinting at this, is it erodes trust. And it erodes erotic honesty.
So, okay, take those as A and B.
Okay.
How do you say erodes trust if we're... devil's advocate here. If we're full disclosure, here's what I'm going after.
Well, okay. But again, that's based on a more situational, we're going to try this for the moment. I'll do this if we get this kind of a thing. I'm talking about if this becomes part of your whole dynamic of, I want to make our sex life a rewards-based system.
Yeah.
I want to earn gold stars.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then it's a commodity.
But for the couple who's just, I don't know, where would this, I'm sorry, that was A, and let me go back to B.
Okay.
Which you referred to as the...
It diminishes erotic honesty.
Yeah.
Because eroticism is built on my willingness to be seen as an erotic person and bringing that forward. I don't get assurances on how it's going to land at all.
Are we talking from the person who is giving it or the... I guess I'm confused.
It can land on, okay, if this is one of those, now I've got this level of interaction between us, and now I'm kind of just marking it and tracking it as such. If I want to alter it, can I speak up? Because now all of a sudden I'm negotiating new terms. And it's this whole element of, at its essence, if I want a more vibrant sexual relationship with my spouse, where I love this phraseology, it's from Schnarch, I believe, where we get to taste the sweetness of each other. Mm-hmm. That's built on my presence only as a part that helps create and cultivate the possibility of that happening. It's not about requiring something of you. It's a wanting and seeing if it's wanted in return. That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty clean right there.
And so that's eroticism too. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to bring out eroticism, there's a good chance you're not going to applaud. Because it'd be like, whoa, I didn't know you. We didn't talk about that. Mm-hmm. We talked about just this, that we would go through this act and that's enough. And so again, it's limiting the essences of each of us, which diminishes things. And this is why a lot of couples in marriage only reach levels of sex that's a certain functional level. Because neither one is really taking the risk of, I'm going to bring myself forward and see what happens. Mm-hmm. The other way this kind of shows up on the eroding trust and even making the erotic honesty is if anybody in the nation has ever tried one of the 7-day sex challenges. You know, at face value, it seems like it's, okay, let's do that. But then at some point you can usually like, okay, we just got to get this done. And it's like, I'm kind of diminishing.
Checking something off a
list.
What
this is really about, mm-hmm, in that instance. So it becomes this dynamic of what we have to start faking it. Or rather than, it becomes the challenge for challenge's sake, which is the same kind of concept of reward for reward's sake, rather than wait. The moment in and of itself is the reward. If I treat this well.
Sure.
If I offer myself up well. Then another one is this concept of the whole concept of quid pro quo. You know, anything built on that, the reciprocity economics. Mm-hmm. If you go just face value, that those can only go so far. Because again, it's like what we've already talked about. It just gets messy. Life has things that just happen. And it's like, I mean, every single one of us, if you've been married any length of time, you've had something that's been hit on a really good trajectory that day. And it's like, man, this could be, it was a great day. It's a great date weekend. And then lo and behold, it went sideways. And it's like, but hold on, I'm earning this. We got to see this through. And like, no, it's kind of lost now. And then, so we've kind of lost our ability to be flexible and adjust, which is really the essence of what married life is. Of maintaining connection, even in the midst of disconnections. Right? So it's like, it becomes the superseding goal rather than the point is actually how can we be present, be connected, be engaged, not just trying to satisfy something. And the last thing that this does as far as a pitfall is it can just totally kill playfulness.
And that's, yeah, I totally see that. Right,
because even a play, even something new would have a thought of what are they trying to earn here? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's the whole concept of how we read people. Our maps are that all the time of being able to, okay, what are they really after? If you got kids, that you know this, when they come in and start interacting with you differently. Hey, mom, that's a really good shirt. You look really good. And that's something totally out
of
norm. Immediately, you're like, what do you need? what are you wanting from me here? And that becomes a problematic that starts to become like a scorekeeping, and it takes away curiosity, and there becomes all kinds of problems from that. And so here's what I want to know from the nation is, which of these can you see play out the most? If you think about it, because we've all, and I'll be honest, rather than saying all of us, I've played this role at times in my life of, I'll make it a commodity. I'll make it a, if I do this, this will happen. Or if I could, you know, all those kinds of things, because that's just the way our minds
work. A lot of people have been in that.
So yeah. If I'm honest with looking at this list of here's the things that wreak the most havoc, which ones show up the first? Like, what's my most common thing where I start to see there's a real problem with this? Mm-hmm. And let us know on the platform, smr.fm, well, actually nation.smr.fm. And then we'll keep going on what do we do instead in the extended content. So we've talked about some of the pitfalls, and now in the extended content, let's talk about what can we do instead, right? Because I think this also fits in the idea of sex as a gift, right? Where we talked about, oh, I'm going to give this as a gift. Could be birthday, could be special occasion, whatever. And so the problem is some of this, it's built on some of the same concepts. And this is why a sex as a gift, like birthday sex, is a little different, because it's just once a year.
Well, and I see giving it special as a gift is different than...
Well, and that's what makes it a little different, is it's more of a one-off than a part of a system dynamic that we're trying to incorporate, like a reward system.
I don't know. I see it a little bit different, though.
How so?
Well, if I come to you because I know you enjoy sex and I want to give that to you as something special for an occasion... versus what this emailer said was she wants to get something out of
it. Yeah. And
there's a difference in getting and giving.
Good point.
And so if I'm trying to get something for myself, if I want a piece of jewelry, I want a vacation. No,
what you're talking about is sexual generosity with desire.
When I'm giving it as a gift.
Right. And in that instance, and what you're describing,
I want to
offer this, and it's a generosity move with desire. It's not I know you'll like it, and so I'll just go ahead and do it. And it's just kind of, I'm going through the motions or whatever. That's where it starts to become problematic, because it's training a dynamic of, well, you did it this time and you did it then. And why won't you do it? Because it wasn't actually a generosity based thing that has desire attached to it as well. Mm. Because if you look at it, if we change this concept, because let's go back to what we just talked about in the regular version with this idea of the system that's almost created, it almost creates this IOU kind of dynamic, right? I've credits and debits kind of a dynamic.
Well, it feels like a prostitution within marriage.
Fair enough. So instead, how about if we look at it, of instead of giving the idea of sex as an IOU, how we can do better with this is I create conditions that can help grow desire for us. I can create opportunities. And that could just be moments away together that are cultivated and designed.
Okay.
Right? Because then I'm starting to look at the entirety, not just an act. I'm starting to look at a dynamic of we want to go away for a weekend together, and it's just a weekend of curiosity and enjoyment and relaxation. And then when we do have the moments of sexual time, approach it in the same way of let's be a lot more relaxed with it. Let's just see where things go, you know, less agenda, maybe less performance based. And you just see, and you're creating a condition, the exploration rather than an act, because that's a systemic shift than a lot of people think.
Fair.
Right? And so it's like, don't ever give the gift of an event, give the gift of capacity. Because if I want to actually experience more with my spouse, I have to cultivate more capacity, as do they. And that's where things are starting to get caught up in, what's being exposed in us. And if I look, as I'm looking at our conversation we've had thus far, you know, as a higher desire spouse, there can be this, what's my adequacy if I'm kind of reading this from my spouse? If they're just going through the motions, they're just doing this for me, you know, how do I start to question some things, right?
Yeah.
And so I need to start looking at it as, how do I be more upfront and honest about, hold on, I've kind of lost, I'm reading old maps here. I need to reconnect. I need to get back in the moment with you. And let's just see where things go. Because a lot of times we start chasing proof, right? I want to make sure you're in this or something.
Well, okay, so there's that. If I'm, how do you make sure someone's in it, right? How do you even know that? Other than your gut, and your gut might be reading an old map of your spouse.
It might be. And so, like, if I'm feeling like I'm not chosen, and I start withdrawing, then it's up to me to actually start to confront, okay, what's actually going on here? What are mm-hmm. the actions that are going on here that are different possibly or the same? And then just settle myself down. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens for the lower desire spouse of how can I approach some of this without feeling like I'm having to perform, right? Because if you look at our sex lives, that's kind of the plight of both sides of this equation. Mm-hmm. And so if it's lower desire spouse, then they have to get better at how do I practice clean no's of, no, I'm not interested in that, because a lot of times performing is based on I'm being pushed and I just placate or go along or just hope rather than, no, I'm not okay with that. No, because some of the big times, absolutely, but sometimes I'm just not in the mood for something specific. So practice a clean no, because that can, and then start to build my curiosity about why was it a no then? What was that about?
And I'm wondering if you need to go into a little, even more clarity on what is a clean no. It's not passive. It's not, what does that really look like? Because I'm not sure people really know what a clean no looks like.
Okay. Well, then let's kind of walk through this. Then what would be some dirty no's? Because the things that come to my mind right off the bat, because I wasn't thinking about this line of question, this line of conversation, so I'm kind of spitballing it as we're talking, would be the, I've told you I don't like that.
Okay.
Right? That's still basically a no, but it's not, it's a pushback no more than an owning of myself no.
Well, and it sounds like disgruntled and argumentative and...
Well, and it's an attacking of my spouse's
attack
desire.
Is a good word.
It's an attacking of something my spouse wants, which is not my responsibility to change what they want.
Mm-hmm.
My responsibility is to handle what I'm willing to do or not do.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the time, a clean no is simply just the two letters. No. It's just that simple.
Okay.
But why? I'm not there. That's not interesting to me. Mm-hmm. That feels too exposing.
Mm-hmm.
I can then follow it up with an explanation if needed.
Yeah, well, I think with a spouse, ultimately, maybe not in the heat of it, but at some point, we've got to explain ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
And in the heat of it, sometimes that's the worst time.
It is. I mean, there's things in our life with people that aren't our spouse that, you know, a no is a no, and they don't need an explanation. And there's times with our spouse that maybe we don't even have to explain ourselves, but I think in the long run that each of us seeing through the lens of our spouse can be helpful.
Yeah.
Am I wrong on that?
No, it's you get to understand. I'll use this terminology with it. One of the best things I can do for the growth of myself and my marriage is I start owning myself better, and I also start recognizing the impact of myself on my spouse.
So
what they are up against when they have to deal with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's totally much more in my purview and control than what is it like to deal with you? I have an idea. But I can't control that. I can influence it a little. But it really comes down to how am I just living in line with me, and I'm also being aware of its impact.
Because
when I can do that, I'm bringing bringing myself forward more, because now I start realizing, you know what? I realize I'm a little too gruff on how I react to that.
Mm.
And that's got to be rough to deal with. I don't like that thought. And that's a different thing. I realize I dance around the things I'm not comfortable doing rather than just tell you flat out. And I think my motivation is I don't want to hurt you, but I realize it's going to hurt you because I don't want to do some of those things.
Yeah.
And that becomes the law of the tyranny of the lowest common denominator. You know, we start spiraling rather than, no, I'm stopping that spiral and just owning where I am in the moment because I'm taking full responsibility of my side of the equation. And that's one of the things we do to start changing this pattern. I'm going to take my side of the equation full on, which that's how we started this kind of playfully with the episode of, if the wife would love to earn weekends away or jewelry or whatever it could be.
Or the husband, whatever.
Or the husband. I'm just going off of what was posed with the question. Yeah. Then if you think a weekend away would do you some good and you would enjoy it, then just go take a weekend away.
Right.
Be respectful of it. Right. I mean, recognize the impact of it, but that's a more differentiated move.
Yeah.
Rather than, what if I do this to earn that? Well, how does that earn you anything?
Good point.
Right? And so I just take responsibility for me of, if I want to be that type of a person, then I start just being that type of a person. I start speaking up and seeking what I want, and I realize its impact. The other thing is the opportunity I can have, and this is a full-on Schnars phrase, of I can give the gift of the mind, which is I can let my spouse start to see me more. I don't hide what's going on as much. I let them actually start reading me. I let them in, right? I let them map my mind. I let them see what I really think, want, feel, notice. And I let them see it. Because we shade and mask a lot of things if you think about it in life.
Yeah.
We can also think of this as poker facing. we can have a poker face to other people, but our spouse can still see behind that poker face.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think of family situations where that happens a lot, where no one else knows what my real thought is to a situation when we're with our family. But if you look at me, you probably have a pretty good idea.
Pretty darn.
Okay. But it's just letting them see it, because I'm speaking from a more self-validated, solid stance. And I'm allowing people, I'm sharing it. You know, this also plays out in sex of, I'm not just focusing on what isn't happening, or I'm engaged in the moment. I'm present. I lead. I prompt. I've receive whatever it might be. And you just kind of follow that connection. And that requires giving a chance to let them see who you are and let them experience that. And this also then leads into a courageous reveal of some of my more erotic sides. And I don't mean kinky way out there. I just mean anything that's in the more sexual arena that maybe I've been scared to let people know. Well, let my spouse know.
Spouse. Yeah. I'm like, nobody else needs to know.
Don't necessarily go flaunting this on your day to day.
No.
But it's that element of letting them see the real impact of an experience, of the real enjoyment. Because I think about it this way. I'll own this, because this is one of the things I've realized in my life is I don't have a lot of high highs or low lows. Would you agree with that? I kind of am fairly even keel.
I would agree with that.
Okay. So that the plus of that is I don't have a lot of low lows. The negative of this is I don't have a lot of high highs.
Okay.
Right?
How does that play out? So
there's an element of if I'm really engaged in something that I really do enjoy, particularly sexually with you, but even just in general, how do I let you know the enjoyment that's really going on and let you see it, rather than I might have real trouble just experiencing it? And so at the same time, we can get caught up in, I need to let you in rather than I'm acting or, you know, but actually like just totally challenge myself in that moment to feel what's going on, experience it, let go a little bit and see. Because there's an element of, that's really vulnerable feeling. Just as I'm sitting here thinking about it and talking about it with you right now. It's like, that's kind of exposing. And so there's an element of just letting somebody see, letting my spouse see, what's the deeper part of me? Because there's always this fear of, well, but if I let them see it, then what if they don't like it? What if they diminish it? What if they blow it off? What if they don't acknowledge it? You know, all those kinds of things, rather than I don't have control over that.
What if they don't? I mean, what are you going to do? Right? I mean,
then
what if
that leads to the very last point that we can make, which is the element of the anxiety that is produced in that kind of experience of letting somebody actually see me.
Yeah.
That's the price of admission to a deeper level of life with another person.
Yeah, well, we let them see it, but you talk about the what if, and we get ourselves so worried speculating on those what ifs that it does us no good. We worry,
yeah.
Right? And that's,
yeah,
that's what we're not supposed to do. Don't worry.
Right.
Don't worry. It's over and over. And look at how that interferes with what could be.
Yeah.
In this relationship that we're talking about.
Yeah. Because the moments that we have are the moments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember who Alfred Adler, who's a theorist that I studied in my master's program.
Okay.
He had a belief that the moment in time is the only moment that matters. So rather than looking at life as one solid line with an arrow,
yeah,
it's a dotted line.
Yeah.
And every dot is all that matters. The dot you're on is the only one that matters.
Huh, that's interesting because, I mean, it wasn't an hour ago that I sent our kids a reel from Federer, Roger Federer speaking at a graduation. And he was talking about, I'm a world champion. I won 80% of my matches, but you know how many points I won in those 80% that I won? I only won 54% of the points. I'm a champion. I only won a little over half of my points. And you know what the key was behind that? I had to forget the last point.
Yep.
Whether I won it or lost it, yep, I had to deal with the point I had right in front of me right there.
Yep.
That was the key.
Yep.
Forgetting what was behind me and dealing with the point right in front of me.
Yeah.
Boy, that's interesting how both of those came up right there.
It does. But that's the whole concept of just realizing if I want to do something better with my sex life.
Yeah.
And actually create the possibilities more likely where we get to actually experience the essences of each other more.
Mm-hmm.
It's a willingness to bring myself forward of wanting, mm-hmm, in that moment, generate my own desire for that moment, and then live in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
That's where sex is at its best.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And that's our hope for what people experience over the holidays and then coming into 2026. Mm-hmm. Realizing this goes completely counter to what we just talked about in the regular version, but there's a couple of things I got on my list that I'd like as a reward.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about the currency and how
what the exchange rate is.
What the exchange rate is. Yeah.
Now, I love it when people share some things. It's like, oh, that's kind of an interesting thought process. I can see why we would think that way. I think I might want to explore that. I think that could, you know, it could, because we're all trying to solve these problems. These dilemmas in life, right? We want solutions.
Yeah, solutions, add some spice, whatever.
Rather than realizing my facing the struggle is what creates the better me.
Mm.
That's kind of the whole goal, is there's not a solution to this struggle because it's a constantly facing me and bringing forth a better me. Well, this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. If we left something undone, we want to know. 214-702-9565 or feedback@sexymarriageradio.com. So however you took a little bit of time out to spend with us, thanks, and we'll see you next time.